League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Andy Roy episode. I heard about Andy just throughout the years being a skateboarder. I've always been a fan of his skateboarding. I was obsessed with watching his epically layered documentary parts. I guess you could see him on YouTube. But my favorite part of his interview was when he talked about not only his skateboarding, but as well as he had a bunch of prison stories, like the commissary and prison food and his tattoo hustle and the proper showering etiquette in prison. And I really had a blast talking about that. Hope you enjoy. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time ever, OG skateboarder, Andy Roy.
Yeah,
thanks for coming, man.
Oh, thank you.
It's
man.
An honor to have you, man.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Like I said, cool. I haven't had a lot of skateboarders on here, but it's always a treat when I do get them. And
right.
Yeah, you're, man. I just watched your Epically Latered, man. I was obsessed with it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that part
you
where
liked
that,
it?
Yeah, where the guy walks up to you. Yeah,
oh,
but
yeah.
What ended up happening there?
At the little derby skate park?
Yeah, the derby skate park. Yeah.
It was a company that I rode for.
Yeah,
and,
Santa Cruz?
It was Consolidated.
Consolidated, that's what's up, yep.
And when I rode for Santa Cruz, he was like a team manager type dude. And he was like, they hired him as to be the funny guy for like skits and stuff. And
yeah.
Kind of goofy dude. Jason Jesse, Steve Keenan, they left Santa Cruz to start Consolidated, and he joined them. And I would go on skateboard trips, and I would just mess with him. I'd just fuck with him. Like, dude,
torture
him. And, like, he was like a bartender, and he worked at this pool hall. And I got drunk, and I would never like to go to the bathroom because I feel like I'd miss out on the action. So I would just pee right there at the bar thing, you know, but I just whip it out right there.
Oh, damn.
But there was a video camera, and he just so happened to be looking the camera and caught me. And he kicked me out. Yeah, so I was always causing a ruckus around this guy. And we kind of butted heads a lot. And then one of the dudes on the team got voted in Thrasher like the most stable team. We're like a family, you know.
Are you talking about Anti-Hero?
No, this was Consolidated.
Oh, this is Consolidated
still. This
is
before Anti-Hero.
This is before, because you were you were on Anti-Hero, too.
For like 20,
like
almost,
like
almost
a
20
long
years. Yeah.
Oh, gee, dude. But it's a great company.
Yeah.
Yeah, great company.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Those dudes are rad. Julian and Cardio.
So let's keep it with Consolidated.
Yeah, so like they kicked off Jesse Pie as a good friend of mine.
That's
and
your
like,
homie.
That's my homie, you know. And they,
like childhood?
No, but just like with this from skating, you know, traveling, and when you go on the road with someone, and like we went on a 2-month tour, and it was like Karma Tasha, Jesse Pius, his brother Richard, younger brother, Doug Sainz, Alan Peterson, and me, and 2 months in a ghetto van, we called it. You had to hotwire it to start it.
You toured in that?
Toured in that across the country, and then when you spend 2 months in a small little van. You get close, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
Spend a lot of time together through skating. And when they kicked him off, it just like broke my heart. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. I took it out on Birdo. And
right.
That dude that was walking out that you seen, he was wearing a consolidated hat.
I rewinded that. Yeah. I rewind that
he
scene.
Because
like, I like, because you stood your ground.
Yeah, man.
Like you're like, I'm like, oh, this guy's not backing down.
Nah, man.
Yeah. Like, it was uncomfortable to watch, but it was addicting to me because I'm like, oh, man, let me see. Because it shows him like, and then the other dude rolls up.
Yeah.
The owner of the company
or
something.
Yeah, Birdo
or whatever. But that's cool. You stood, you know, because that's your homie.
Dude. And I'll take whatever he had that he was going to try and give me. Whatever that dude Birdo was going to give me, I was going to take it out on that other guy.
Yeah. They didn't do nothing, though, did they?
No, of course not.
Because
no,
I like, man, when you said, do what you got to do, man.
Yeah. You know?
Said something crazy. I'm like, is he gonna do anything? And he didn't do anything.
Nah, he didn't.
All right. So, I love it. I was dying because I'd never thought.
Right.
I didn't think that I would have you here on my podcast. So now I have a chance. I have a chance to ask you these things.
Yeah.
So man, like your skate career has been so long, and how did you like get into skateboarding?
Dude, my mom had a boyfriend when I was a kid, probably like 6 years old, and. The boyfriend had a son that skated, and he was way older than me, and he had a quarter pipe out in front of their yard, and so I'd just jump on one of their boards and skate. And
this was
the 80s? My first taste. Like, this was in the 70s.
This was
like
in the
early 70s.
This was in the 70s?
I'm 48, dude. I've been around
looking
a minute.
Looking good,
you
brother.
Know what I mean?
Still going strong.
So, like, that was like the first like taste of skating, but it wasn't until I was like 11, 12 when I like, dude, I got a skateboard, dude, just... and I'm like, this is what I want to do, and that's all I'm gonna do.
What was it about skateboarding that like grabbed your attention? Like, what did you like about it? Is it just being on the board or the tricks or going fast? Or,
you know what, it was like, dude, you could let out whatever you're feeling on your skateboard. Like, I played Little League baseball, and like, you know, that team sport stuff, and a coach yelling at you, and they pat you on the butt.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like,
not for you.
Nah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. I just like skating. Dude, once I found skating, I was just like, dude, I want to do this, man.
Yeah.
This is rad. And the older dudes that I seen skating that were ahead of me that were older, dude, they were so rad. I was just like, I want to do that.
Like, well, do you have memories of like a trick they might have done, or like just the vibe that you got watching them?
Dude, it was like, just like this guy Nathan Horton. He's like the first dude, like one of the first dudes that I hooked up with. He's a few years older than me, and he would take me around. But he was so aggressive, and like, dude, anyone got in his way, he would run them over. It was a lot different back then. It wasn't as friendly, and it wasn't on TV. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, dude, he was just so gnarly, and just the way. And then I grew up with punk rock music. You know what I mean?
That's
punk rock
up.
Skating. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I was just like a little shithead when I was younger. So, dude, I don't know, all of it, just like to be able to grind that sound, like everything, like you can just let out whatever's inside you, anger,
so
whatever.
Adrenaline,
it is,
then.
And let adrenaline.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just cool, man.
It's in a different. I've noticed. Well, I'm not. I'm in my 40s as well.
Right.
But I noticed that now it's like more. Back then, I noticed it was more outcast.
Yeah.
But now it's like kind of like so mainstream.
Yeah. It's
like,
crazy.
What are your thoughts? Because you grew up during a whole different. Like in my high school, there was maybe 3 or 4 skaters, maybe.
Right.
And everyone, they were outcasts. It wasn't cool.
I got you. You didn't get
baggy-ass clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't get laid. The chicks didn't dig it.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
The jocks didn't like you.
No.
No, I got you. And like, dude, that's crazy because like it's gonna be in the Olympics now. Like it's like the nerds and all, like they figured out how to skateboard now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's so, it's like a alternate reality.
It's crazy because back then, like, if you seen someone with beat up shoes and like,
or the ollie
on,
marks,
the ollie marks,
yeah,
that
that's
right
how
there,
you knew. Yeah, you're like, oh, he skates,
dude, skates. An instant, you had that bond, like, all right, he's one of me, you know, he's one. We're doing the same thing, like.
But
like,
now you, anyone,
you don't even know, like, it's crazy.
And not only that, like, when I was friendly. Growing up, like, if you could kickflip, you were the man.
Yeah.
But now they're like switch flipping before that, or switch laser flipping, and you're like, okay,
it's crazy.
What do you think about the progression? Because back then it was like you learn like you know, front 180.
Yeah.
Ollie, you know, ollie first. You have to learn ollie first.
Right, absolutely.
But now they're skipping it.
Yeah, dude, they're like, dude, they, I think they just see what's on TV and they're just so good now. Like, like they see a 540. Like, I'm going to do a 540. Like, they could just, these kids are like 10, 11 years old are catching on to it and turning pro at like 13, 14. That's crazy, you know? Like,
I watched the barracks and these young kids coming out of there. And I'm like, how old is he?
Rip, man.
And he's grinding the rails. Yeah. Like, feeble, whatever. Feeble grinding the rails, switch, feeble. I'm like, what the?
It's just insane. It's on a whole nother level for sure.
Yeah. So, but let's go back to where, like, how you were brought up in skateboarding. Right. It wasn't like that when you were
growing up. I skated Derby Skate Park, and dude, the locals were so gnarly that I didn't know how to skateboard. And it was like it was a ball with a snake run with a hip at the end. So you had to push around, like carve down the snake and hit the hip, right? And I didn't know what I was doing. I'd get in the way, and these dudes would run me over. They'd spit on me.
They would spit on you?
Yeah, dude, like little kid, like just get the fuck out of the way. Like, you're in our way. Like,
jeez.
So I would wait till dark time. When it got dark, when they would all leave, then I would start skating, and I would learn how to, dude, I like learned how to skate in the dark just because like they're all gone. So no one's going to spit or run me over until I learned how to figure it out. Yeah. Then I got in there, and then they were like, cool. You know, there was this little kid wasn't getting in the way no more, you know?
So like, yeah, I wanted to also add on because you're you do skate transition and vert and bowls. And like, did you learn how to do that first, or you did both? Because you skate both.
Yeah, like I skate everything, but like my whole deal is like I like to skate tranny transition, you know what I mean? But when vert died and street skating, I wrote for Santa Cruz, and they're like, you have to have an all street part, you know, you have to wear baggy pants.
This is in 92 then?
It was like early 90s.
Like
91.
Yeah, well, like for the viewers and listeners, snake run is like a kind of
So
it's an obstacle, kind of like a wavy.
It's like it's transition, so it's like a bowl, like a it wasn't very deep, but like
it's like a slalom type.
Yeah, wavy, and then a snake run is like banks on it, so like you had to hit one side to the other side to keep the speed going, and then a hip is like where you could do like crack ollie, you know, like do tricks on it, you know. But
yeah,
I grew up skating that kind of stuff, and then when vert died and street skating started coming in.
That was in the 90s, right?
That was in the 90s. Yeah. And then, like, you know, punk rock was out. Like, rap music started being in the videos and stuff. And I had to, like, kind of, like, switch it up, you know? Like, if you want to stick with what's going on, you have to street skate, you know?
So then you had to focus on street skating then?
Yeah, you know? And I wasn't I didn't flip my board much. I could do, like, heel flips and some pop shove-its.
Yeah, yeah. I love pop shove-its.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, dude, I would just try and do, like, stuff that no one else was doing. Like, jump out of windows into Tarant. Like, just whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
stuff
that
no one else was doing.
So how did you like adapt to that time period, like when skateboarding changed? Were you just like, all right, I'll just
dude, skating's just so sick, you know what I mean? Like I think the definition of a professional skateboarder is someone that skates everything. You know what I mean? Like if you're a professional and you're put at a demo, and let's say like
there's a bowl,
it's a curb or it's just a rail or a bank.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be able to do something on it. You know, and like stoke the crowd out or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that's a definition of a pro skater. Someone that could like shine
on all terrains.
But yeah.
Yeah. So do you think, because in today's age, it's split kind of, you know, you got your street league or the dudes that just do the street obstacle courses. But
now, like, dude, now, like, the kids are skating everything. Like, there's a good group now that could skate everything, you know?
Right.
But there are it is still, like, a bunch of street skaters, and then there's the vert dudes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, like, the vert dudes usually can't skate the street, you know what I mean? They can't ollie.
They're
used to putting pads on and, you know, like using the coping to catch air and stuff like that, where you don't hit your tail, you know?
That's what's up. Were you around during Hosoi then, right?
I rode for Hosoi when he, you know,
you
like,
for Christian Hosoi's company?
Asked me to ride for him, dude, and that was a big honor.
So,
dude, that was when he was all messed
up. Explain who, because a lot of my viewers might not know, but explain who Christian Hosoi is.
Dude, Christian Hosoi is a straight rock star. All right. So when I was a kid, he was pro. Like, dude, I had all his posters on the wall, but he was like, He wore hair extensions. He wore spandex.
Bandanas. Yeah,
he just had all the stuff. Like, just like...
He could have been in Van Halen or something.
Straight
up. He was a rock star.
Dude, straight up, dude. And he got all the girls. He you know, he's like a good-looking dude. Yeah. And he just, he had that aura.
He had his own move,
like,
the Christ Air, right?
The Christ Air. Yeah. You know what
Explain
I mean?
Explain what his signature move
that,
was.
That is like where, you know, on a vert ramp, they do a backside air, and he flies out, and he grabs takes the board off his feet, and he straightens his legs and spreads his arm like a cross, like an actual cross, and then puts it back under his feet. Like, dude, he's like 10 feet in the air, puts it back on his feet and lands it, you know?
He had a mean rocket air, too.
Yeah, a rocket
or
air.
Judo air?
Yeah, dude, he had the best style. Like, he still does. Like, he's like a natural.
Is he still around?
Dude, he's a born-again Christian.
Get the hell out of here.
When I was riding for him, he was messed up on speed. He was, like, big time on speed.
I heard that. He was on meth?
Meth.
Yeah.
And he got caught smuggling it, and they jammed him up at the airport, tackled him, I guess, and he had like a pound, like he got busted for a good amount.
Damn.
He was looking at 12 years. He ended up doing like 7 years, I think.
He
at
did?
Federal prison. And he got out, dude, and he's became a born-again Christian, and now he's like a pastor. And just,
well, good for him.
Dude, he's doing great.
Yeah,
I'm just happy
he's alive.
I love him to death, dude. He's a rad dude.
Man, that's an icon right
dude,
there.
Dude, yeah. Like, he seriously had the highest air record, you know?
Oh, what
like,
about his signature skateboard?
Yeah, he's
that's
got...
That's like the most iconic designs. Like,
dude,
yeah.
He was like, yeah, like you said, he was like a rock star, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Everywhere
yeah.
he went, everyone knew who he was, and he knew it, too. He was very... He wasn't like a big ego. Like, he just knew he had it, but he was cool at the same time. You know, he wasn't like like an asshole or nothing. He was just a rad dude.
He was on top for a while.
Yeah, dude.
His only competition was Tony Hawk.
Yeah, dude. He would beat Tony Hawk. Like, they were battling it for years. You know,
well, they were rivals.
Rivals, absolutely.
So this was in 84.
All through the 80s.
All
and
through
stuff.
The 80s, yeah.
And like, was Christian was the one that was natural, that did big airs. And then Tony was
got
the one.
More tech, though.
Yeah, he was very technical, and he invented a lot of tricks. People gave him shit because he didn't have a good style, but dude, Tony rules.
Oh,
he's the raddest, you know?
And so, and then he came up with Birdhouse.
Yeah,
Project.
Birdhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
We just were with them the other day. We went and hung out with them. We were with Steve-O, and... Steve-O had these ramps, and 30 years, so when he was 14, and it was in 89, the year I graduated, he had these wall ride ramps. So they're ramps that you push against the wall, and you ride up one, and you ride on the wall, and then you come down on the other one.
Damn.
So he brought them. We jumped in his van, put him the ramps in a trailer, drove to Tony's in San Diego to his warehouse where he has this big vert ramp, put them up against this wall, and we skated all, like,
oh,
dude, we got
God,
to skate with Tony Hawk.
That must have been real fun.
Yeah. Dude, it was rad.
He's cool, right?
Yeah, dude, he's...
Tony Hawk.
Dude, Tony fucking Hawk, man.
Dude, that's
like,
crazy.
Dude, it's insane. Like, dude, and all these guys, I had all posters on my wall, you know, as a kid.
Yeah, who were some of your favorite skaters growing up?
Growing up, dude, Jay Adams, Jason Jesse.
Dogtown.
Dude, Dogtown, like the Lords of Dogtown.
Yeah.
Jay Adams was a good friend of mine also, and... he passed away. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Dude, he was like one of my heroes. You know what I mean? Like, anything that dude did, I'm like, I want to do that.
That dude was raw.
Dude, straight raw. Dude, I love that you said raw.
Didn't he grow up in like a Chicano neighborhood too?
Yeah, dude, he's like a white cholo. Yeah.
Like, for real.
Like, for real.
Like how the hell do you adapt? You're a skater, but then you're in an area and you're a white dude, but you're around Chicano gangs.
Because he was just crazy, dude. And they just knew, like, this crazy white boy. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Was he in the gang?
I know he ran with them. I don't know, like, if he got jumped in, but, like, it was, like, the Suicidal Boys or something. Like,
yeah.
I went there when I was, like, 16, dude, and it was so gnarly.
You
like,
went to Dogtown?
To Venice and, like, ran into all, like, I got sponsored by Bronze Age. It was, like, one of my first sponsors.
Yeah.
Brian King and Bronze Age Clothing, and I went to Venice when I was 16 years old. My mom let me get out of school, and I drove. My friends worked for them, so I got to go down there. They put me on a team, and I went to Venice where they all skated. And Jay Adams, Julian Stranger, Eric Dressen, Aaron Murray, Soy was there. Dude, all these gnarly legends. Dude, I was 16 years old, going, no way! Like, it was insane.
You skated with them?
All of them. I got to see them all skate. Dude, I was just in awe. You know what I mean? As a kid.
What did that do to you? Like, did you get adrenaline?
Dude, straight up. Like, also, dude, they had a big ramp in the middle of like where they skated, and I cut in someone's way, And it was a rough era. Like, that place was kind of rough. Well,
give some context. What was Venice like back then? Because you're like, dude, it was like, it was crazy. All right.
Yeah, so like, it was starting to, like, it's just like a lot of Mexicans. There's blacks, but a majority was like Mexicans. And they were just like cholo dudes, man. And they were just like, they all skated, but they were like, they grew up in like gnarly neighborhoods.
So it was
like a rough area where they all grew up from. So they just had that tough mentality. And they just held it down where they were at. And I just got in some dude's way, and he grabbed my board and threw it. And I was just like, dude, I didn't even go get it. I was just like, dude, I fucked up. I got in there. And I was young, you know.
Oh, right.
A couple minutes went by. He went and grabbed my board and just go, kid, just don't get in my way again. You know, you got to watch what you're doing. And I'm like, dude, you betcha, I'll never get in your way again. You know what I mean? Like,
damn, dude. It was rough, dude.
And it was getting dark time. And they're all sitting on this wall, and this like prostitute came up, and she like asked for a beer, and they started fucking with her, and like one dude peed in a bottle, poured it on her head. Whoa. And like she started like playing like shampoo and started like playing with it in her hair. Then they like socked her in the face. Dude, I'm 16, just going, dude, this is gnarly, dude.
That's pretty gnarly. It was crazy.
You know, I was tripping, and they just let me go, and they're like, you're gonna go you're going to meet Jay Adams for the day. You're going to go hang out with him. And I'm like, what? Like,
so what was that like?
Dude, he was surfing. Like, you're going to go on the pier. He's going to be out surfing. Wait for him to come out. And you're going to go kick it with him. We got to work. And he got out from surfing. And he came up onto the pier. And he's like, hey, man, you're Andy? All right. Do a backside 180, Ollie. And I'm like, okay. So I did it. And
it was like a test.
He's just like, yeah, let me see what you got, kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so you had to do it in person.
Yeah, right in front of him, dude. And he's like, all right, you got it. You know what I mean? And we start walking away, and some girl's like checking out the waves, been leaning over the rail, and he slaps her in the ass, and we keep watching. He was just like, he just did whatever the fuck he wanted. He was very outspoken. And he was just a nut. He was like a little kid in an older person's body, you know? Yeah.
I saw that documentary, the Dogtown documentary. Yeah, I think that, like, just for a reference point, people should watch it.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Because it explains, like, what they were about. And
yeah.
They had a local shop, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. And Jeff Ho was like, he was the one that shaped the surfboards. And then Skip Englem was the one that, like, got the team together. And, I think he started shaping the skateboards too. Also, it was like a surf shop, and then they were all surfers. And then when there was no waves, they would skate. You know, like emulate or whatever the word's called. Like they would copy surfing, but on the sidewalk.
That's crazy. Sidewalk surfing.
Sidewalk surfing, dude. And then they just got rad at it. You know what I mean? And there was like five or six of them or something. There was like Jim Muir, Mike Muir from Suicidal Tendencies.
He was a tight artist too. He did all the designs and stuff. Yeah.
They were like the four, you know, like they're the ones that started it all, you know?
That's crazy.
Like,
yeah.
Jay was the one that was the craziest out of all of them. He's the one that didn't care about like being sponsored or like
he just did
all
it.
The fame or nothing. He just loved it and it was in his heart. And he was just a true 100% skateboarder.
So this was in the 70s.
70s, yeah.
So from the 70s, when did it start changing, and when did you move on to these other companies?
Like I got sponsored when I was 16, and I was about like 89 is when I like got sponsored, where I skated this pool. After I skated Derby, I went to this it was a burned down house, and this pool had been there since like 72 or something. It was empty, kind of Buena Vista pool. So I go out there and skate it, and the same dudes that were spitting on me at the other place were there.
Oh, they're skating it too?
Doing the same thing. So I waited till dark time and learned how to skate that same place.
So
I got the respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had a contest, and I ended up winning it. I beat all the older dudes. Everyone,
you beat
these
them?
Dudes, all of them.
All
dude,
right,
all
there
of
you go,
them.
Andy.
And then this dude, Steve Keenan, was there, and he's like, dude, I want to give you free skateboards. Like, I'll put you on the flow team.
So you just got flowed right there.
Yeah, and he goes, come in and get some stuff. It was Santa Cruz Skateboards. I came in, he gave me a duffel bag full of gear, and I came home to my mom and showed it to her, and she's like, where'd you steal all this stuff from? Where'd you get all this stuff?
No,
you
did it legit.
I'm like, no,
you
man, they gave it to me. Yeah.
So you know what makes me think about today and back then? Like, that's more respectable, because now, you know, they're like, look at my Instagram video.
Yeah, that's what they do.
But back then, you had to, like, there's different pressure. You had to, like, the dude was right there. You had to do it on the spot.
Right.
Even if your leg was all messed up, you had to still do it. So, I mean,
Like there was, yeah, like now, like I'm not the one that could be like, hey, sponsor me. Like, hey, I'm rad. I rip. Like, hook me up. You know what I mean? I'm just not that dude. So like, he hit me up. Thank God, because I couldn't do that. Then the kids now, they make videos and send it to the company that they
edit
like.
It on the computer.
They edit and they do all that. Yeah, and like, sponsor me, and that's how they get sponsored. But like, back in my day, like, yeah, you just skated. You know what I mean? And if you got, I tell kids today. Like if you rip, if you're about it and you're gnarly, someone's going to see you and recognize it, your skills, and they'll hook you up, man.
And especially in today's age, there's so many skate parks now.
They're everywhere.
If you're a kid that rips, you just show up, rip one day, and someone might be there.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, dude, you rip.
And if you're about it and you're that dude that is that gnarly, they're going to notice it and they're going to probably hook you up. Throw you in a van and see if you get along with all the other riders on the team. And if you could fit on like a trip and don't blow it. You
yeah,
know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's a test run. They just don't like.
So explain what that what does that entail? What does blowing it mean? And what's the test run?
Like you get someone new on the team, and all right, like because there's like let's say there's 8 of you on the team. Like okay, you rip. You know you rip. All right, like you're good enough to be sponsored, but. You got to get along with the dudes on the team.
That's very important.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
You could get on each other's nerves, you know? And then someone that's never been on the road and you could get... It's easy to fuck up and like just blow it or something.
Or what if
and,
you're just like drinking the whole
time?
Yeah,
give me one of those.
Or
yeah,
just
not
smoking
skating.
Weed all day.
Yeah. So like, dude, you got to get along with all this chemistry, you know? Like you got to get along with everyone else and have that, that chemistry and get along with everyone.
So would you say it's like half your skill, half just if you get along?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
how
half
you hold
of,
yourself. How you
so
hold
half
yourself.
Of it if you're a cool dude.
Yeah. Like we had this dude when I wrote for Anti-Hero Skateboards, Rainy Bears is a dude that he's pro for Anti-Hero now, but he jumped in the van and it wasn't for sure he was on the team. He jumped on the... Dude, and he just fit in. Like, he was down to sweep pools. Like, if he found the empty pool, like, he was there to sweep up. Like,
right,
helped out. Like, he participated and, like, helped with anything that we had going
That's
on.
That's huge.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you got someone that just thinks they rip and expect it. Then we had another dude that was from Australia that jumped in on our team and went on a trip. You buy beer. You buy it for everybody on that's in the crew.
Yeah, of course.
He would buy like a six pack and keep it his little special beer, and he kind of distanced himself from everybody else. So like,
that's
all
selfish.
Right, you
that's
know what I mean?
Selfish,
yeah,
man.
Like because we're all in it together.
Yeah,
you know? Like the Anti-Hero started with four of us. Like,
yeah, how'd you get on? Like, let's talk about that. Like, how'd you meet like Julian Stranger and all those dudes and Cardiel and all them?
It's a trick because Julian grew up in Venice also. Mm-hmm. And San Francisco back and forth. But when I was 16 years old, Julian was skating with Eric Dressen and I was wearing a Thrasher shirt, right? And I had silk screened a Dead Kennedys logo on
it. Oh, we
it
had
in my
a
class.
DH Pellegro's been here.
I seen him at a meeting the other day with Steve-O.
Yeah. That's the homie. Yeah he's been on here.
I got to shake his hand. That's insane.
He's good dude.
Rad.
Yeah, that's my brother.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. But yes, and Julian was skating by, and I went to high school with a friend that grew. His mom was like really good friends with Julian's mom.
Okay.
So these guys grew up as little kids. They're born in the same hospital. My friend Gabe knew I was going to Venice. And he's like, dude, if you see Julian Stranger, tell him like you I'm your homie, Gabe, and stuff. Well, here comes Julian skating, and I just couldn't go up to him and be like, hey, dude, I'm Gabe's friend. I just was not like that. But he was skating by, and he seen my shirt, the print, the Dead Kennedys print, and he stopped, and he goes, hey, dude, that's a sick shirt, and he skated off. And I was like, I could have said something right there, but I
didn't. Yeah, that was your window. Oh,
but that was my first time with, like he was rad, one of my favorite skateboarders of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
And then just, like, when I wrote for Santa Cruz, he wrote for SMA. Those two teams were under the same company roof.
Santa Monica Airlines. Yeah, SMA.
So we'd go on trips, and he would be on them, too. So
he recognized you.
Yeah, we liked how each other skated, and, like, we drank and partied, and we caused a ruckus. We liked just causing trouble. Like, we just
got along.
You know
Yeah.
And then from that time on, we are just homies, you know? And then he started... Anti-Hero Skateboards. It was me, Julian, Cardiel, and Sean Young. Like, we all hung out together. I wrote for Focus at the time, and I ended up writing for Consolidated. And then Julian wrote for Underworld Element, and then Real Skateboards. John wrote for Blacklist. We all wrote for different companies.
Yeah.
And then why not? Like, Julian got offered to start his own company.
Yeah.
And get the dude you hang out with. So we
To form the team. You're the homie.
And then we got Bob Burnquist. Guys went to Brazil, ran into Bob, invited him to come over to the States.
Damn.
He stayed with us for the first time, and he joined the team, and it kind of just started like just a small group of friends. And dude, and they figured it was going to last like a year, if that, and it'd be done. Because we were all troubled. Like, we're the knuckleheads, you know what I mean?
But it's still here.
And it's still here. It's one of the top companies, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not writing for them no more, but I, like, 20 years I was with them. You know what I mean? Like, that's family
time.
Right there.
Yeah,
Like, my heart is definitely will always be part of their whole deal.
Always a part of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, right? That's forever. Family, dude. Yeah. Those are like brothers.
Stuck around when I was doing bad and, like, I get out of jail or...
Yeah, I want to talk about... Dude, I mean, do you mind, like, can we get into that? Because we're both sober now. Yeah. Like, I'm sober and then you're sober, too. Right. You don't do drugs or alcohol.
No, nothing.
How did... So, through just the skateboarding lifestyle, you were drinking and doing... Drugs,
I grew up, like, I just was always around drinking, friends drinking in high school. I had a group of friends that we'd do blow, like, got into cocaine. Like, I mean, you get drunk and do some lines of coke. And then I would go on when I got sponsored, I would go on these trips, come back, and my friends were smoking it. And they started smoking coke. And then I'd smoke it, get drunk, and then I would split on trips, come back. And then I came back, and one of the dudes that was in that little circle of friends brought around heroin, and I broke my foot, and I was, like, held up for, like, 6 months, and I started doing that, and I was bored, like, and it just snatched me up, dude, and it was just,
that's a dangerous one.
Dude, I don't wish it on my worst enemy, man. Like,
yeah, that one is,
it's a bummer,
it's a dangerous
man.
One, yeah.
Right
in
the prime of my skating, too. Like,
damn, So that just took you out.
Yeah, dude, where I was just, like, so embarrassed of what I'd done, I just hid out. Like, they tried tracking me down, and I just wouldn't answer the phone, or, like, I just hid from them, dude. I was just so embarrassed.
From your team members?
Yeah, from all my, Julian, all those guys, you know.
Team manager trying to reach you.
All of them, you know, and just, I just hung out with dudes that were just fucked up on drugs.
Getting loaded, yeah.
And they weren't my real friends, you know what I mean? Misery loves company.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. So did you go to prison?
I went to prison. I ended up going to prison. Like, I started going to jail, like, little, like, Camp Snoopy, they call them, like an honor farm, where it's like minimum security.
Okay.
Where, like, there's a mile track, a latte, a pool table, ping pong, they had weights.
Cupcake jail.
Cupcake jail. Yeah, Camp cupcake. Snoopy, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Dude,
so
it was
just
easy.
Chilling.
And then as I started getting more trouble, I would get stuck down in the county jail where they wouldn't let me go out to that. It was because it was like a privilege to go out to that honor farm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I started getting caught up, and I would just get stuck in the county jail. And then as I started doing more crimes and stuff, I ended up going to prison. You know what I mean? And
like prison.
Prison.
For,
like,
how long?
Dude, a total of 10 years.
What?
Of not straight, but like jail and prison, you know? And the last place I paroled from was Pelican Bay.
What?
And, dude, that's like one of the most violent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wasn't on the level 4 yard, but, like, dude, this, the yard, it's just any prison is no joke.
Well, I only see it through movies or, you know, on YouTube, there's like prison chant, like, after, you know,
lockup.
But dude, that's why I knew what a cupcake jail was because that's like the nice one.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you, like, can you describe how different it is in prison? Like, there, you have to, isn't there like races or split
it's
up?
It's separated by races. It's like grown ass men. Like, it's like, it's the real deal. It's like, it's all about respect. You know what I mean? Like, you cough, you cover your mouth. You don't if you're at a table at the chow hall, you don't reach over for the salt and pepper over someone. You know, you bump into someone, you say, excuse me.
Yeah, right.
There's just like the way you hold yourself. You can't, drink or eat after the blacks or different races, and that's not disrespect to all
so you're,
other races.
You're in a different cart right there.
I hung out like with the Peckerwoods. Just the
it's
white
called
boys.
The Peckerwoods. Yeah.
White boys, you mm-hmm. know. Then you got skinheads, you got Crips, you got Bloods, you got Norteños, Serranos, there's Asians.
Oh, we're
like,
the others.
Yeah, but they're cool, other. Man. They do their own thing, man.
What there's
cool.
like two of them?
Yeah, there's like a couple, you know? There's a couple. You got the For Indians, real? You know?
Oh,
like,
there's dude, Indians, too?
Yeah, and they got, it's a trip because they got their own sweat lot. They got, like, because... They let you do your religion, right? You
yeah,
could,
yeah.
If you're into Satan, they got you could go practice satanic,
that's
whatever.
Crazy.
But they got their own little fenced off area where they could go strip down on their boxers and sweat it out, whatever yeah. their little deal is, you know? And
yeah.
But it's all separated, you know what I mean? And
is there, I mean, because I've watched movies like American Me.
That one's pretty close to the real deal. That the guy Danny Romo that did all the fake tattoos in that movie did this tattoo.
He did that.
Yeah, he was in the movie when they were shanking him at the end.
Yeah.
And tossed him over the tier.
Yeah.
He was one of those dudes. Like, I met him through Jason Jesse, a friend
That's
of mine.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, is there like rape that happens?
Yeah, definitely. It does happen. But it ain't like what you know what I mean? Like how they show it. You know what I mean?
But in that movie, there were some brutal scenes.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Like the guy, the politician, whatever dude's son.
Yeah.
That was working in the kitchen.
Right.
They go, hey, we're going to have a stripper come later.
Right.
Who's the stripper? You are.
Yeah.
And so does that stuff
But that's
happen?
The big no-no. That's where they got Edward James Olmos and all of them got in trouble because, I mean, this is not my, it's the Mexican mafia, right? And
yeah.
I'm not
la
one
M-A,
of those,
la
but M-A.
Yeah,
and
M-A, yeah.
I just know from just... being around the stuff that you don't, if they don't do that, they don't do that rape stuff, and you won't be a Mexican. Like that's their deal. Like they don't.
So what
get
do you
down
say?
Like
are
that.
There rules for each tier? Or like different
like
groups
different,
have
yeah,
different
they
rules.
They all got their own deal going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
like if you want to play cards with like a black guy or an Asian guy, or you can't do that.
You can, but I don't because dude, that's how you get stabbed, and that's how like you could start a race riot because.
What?
Someone like bets their breakfast tray or something.
Yeah.
And a grown ass man wakes up in the morning and he's hungry and he has to trade his decides like, I don't want to give up my tray. All right. We're going to have to go in the bathroom or around the building and handle it then. Like it go, you know.
Yeah.
And fight, you know, and that could stir up some bad
right,
stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like sore loser, you know, so I never gambled.
Yeah.
I didn't bet. I didn't play cards. Like I was cool with other races, but I just didn't because I just know bad stuff could happen.
Yeah.
Or to get a dope dad or something, do drugs in there.
So it's politics.
Yeah,
it's
big
all
time.
Politics.
Dude, big time, you know?
How do you shower? What's showering like there? Like,
oh,
what's
this is crazy.
Yeah.
Cause
I've always wondered that because I'm like, is it like a big room or do you have your own individual stall?
I was just like you do when I first, before
like,
I even
how do you
went
adapt
to
that's
dude,
scary,
it's gnarly,
yeah,
right?
It's gnarly.
When I first started going to jail, my friend had been going to jail and I was like, dude, can you draw it out for me and show me what, like what it's like this is like so he's like the bunks are right here, the day rooms right here, the basketball courts out there, the top tiers, you know, like he just drew it all. I was just like, because I knew
well,
I was
he
going.
Drew a map.
Yeah, he like drew it because I was just like, I knew I was bound to go, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
I was like,
oh, you're prepping,
you do bad stuff, bad things are gonna happen,
right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
No,
but
I
then
you.
Like prison, like you're in with like 10 other dudes and
Killers.
you got five minutes to, and you have to wear You wear
your
mandatory. You wear your shoes to the shower because if you fight
slippers,
you know, that's a big no-no because
these are no-no.
You wear them in the shower, but you bring them with you.
Oh.
So like before you go to prison, you have to order them on the commissary list in jail because they don't give them to you in prison. So you'll be barefooted
what a
and get
commissary. What is a commissary?
Commissary
list?
Is where you get your little zoom zooms and wham whams, where you get your snacks, your top ramens, your
oh, granola bars,
your granola bars,
yeah. Oh,
your
top ramen.
Your what is that? Your hosted like little Debbie's and tuna and stuff like that. So you get to order once a week, $75 a week.
Doritos,
all that. Kind
oh,
because
you can make your own stuff in your cell.
Yeah. You
oh,
know what I mean?
I'd rather do that.
Yeah, dude.
I get creative.
Yeah, I'd do a sweet and sour pork.
There
man.
You go,
yeah.
dude. How do you cook it though?
Dude, you they give you hot water. They give
okay.
There's a hot water
yeah.
thing. You know what I mean?
What about shampoo and soap?
You order that on the commissary list.
So everyone has their own soapbox.
They give you a they give you a fish kit. They call it like for the new fish that come in. If you don't got no money, they give you like a little
sampler. It's called a fish kit.
Yeah, you know, because you're a new fish coming in. You know, so
why
they give
do they
you
call
a little,
fish?
You know what? I don't even know. Like this, the new like.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they.
So when a new guy walks in, like he's walking in the yard, do they have like? Do they put soap in a like a pillowcase and then they like hit you like?
No, we have,
remember that movie Bad Boys with Sean Penn?
Yeah, dude, that's a great movie. That's a great movie. That,
yeah.
We put locks from your locker, like your lock.
You put it in a pillowcase?
Yeah, we've done that
So your first day in the gnarly prison.
Dude, when I first, the first day I went to prison, I went to it's called reception, and I went to Tracy DVI. Because the area that I caught my case and went to prison, that's where you go. If you're from like Santa Cruz up north, Santa Cruz, San Jose, you go to San Quentin. And then from San Quentin, you do 30 days. And then you talk to a parole board and they send you out to wherever they think is where you should go.
I wouldn't last a day there.
So it's all respect, dude. Yeah. It ain't as gnarly as you think. If you just are respectful and like if you stand up for yours.
Yeah.
Well, it don't matter if you get beat up, but if you just at least stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you'll be all right.
But yeah, yeah.
There are some yards where, like, there's no hands policy where you don't fight with your fist. You only stab.
Yeah.
As the higher levels you go. But the first day I went to prison, man, I'm on the bus, and we hear we're, like, in the little bullpen before they, like, house you, like, dress you and give you all your gear to ship you off to your the bay you're going to go to. And they're like, well, it's on site with the Norteños, the Peckerwoods and the...
Well,
and
explain what a Norteño is.
A Norteño is a
northerner.
Northerner.
Hispanic.
Which is a Hispanic. That's the 14.
That's like Modesto, Sacramento.
I think it goes Stockton. Far as Bakersfield.
Yeah.
And then
Fresno?
North. You know what I mean? Okay. Fresno, they got these guys called the Bulldogs or something. But yeah, there's like different cliques, and then from like L.A., those are all 13 Serranos, you know.
So Serranos are L.A.
L.A.
Southern. Like around, like if you're around here.
Right. And they speak Spanish, you know. Like the Northerners usually don't speak Spanish, not you know.
Right.
Farmers or something. They
say.
And it was over a pair of prison boots. Like it was supposedly like it was over some boots, and that's what split them up, and they started
north
and south, whatever. If they would have stuck together, they probably would have took over the whole
thing.
Yeah. But dude, it was on site. Like it was over some tobacco. Some white boys.
What does on site mean?
On site means as soon as you see a northerner, or if they see a peckerwood, instant fighting. You don't like.
Instant?
It don't matter if you're shackled up or whatever, a guard's there or not, you rush them and you just start beating on them. Like,
what if it's all done, you say, I was there, but you weren't really there? They'll find out?
They'll find, yeah, dude, they always know. Like, when you go into your cell, when you first go into your cell.
What was that like?
You have to show your paperwork.
To who?
To the celly that you're with.
Why? That's none of his business.
No, because they want to know if you're... you want to in there because you could be a rapist or a child molester or like... You know what I mean? So you
if you're
that,
one of those, you're...
Oh, you're getting stabbed, beat up.
That's
you're, yeah, you're getting
you're
rolled
done.
Up. Yeah, you're done. That's on-site right there.
Because they got
there.
Families. They got daughters and sons.
Yeah,
you can't mess around
like
that.
You know, some guards will let... COs will let that happen. You know what I mean?
Okay, so how does that happen? So once you show... Here's my paperwork, sir.
And you show it to me, I read it, and like it shows you everything, right?
Yeah.
Like,
all
right.
And
then you're going to be like, all right, let me see yours. So I'm going to go on my stuff,
and I'm
going to
show
you. And if it so happens to have something fucked up, you're going to be like,
and this is clean. You're good.
Yeah.
No, we're good.
We're good.
What if there's something on here that's not good?
Instant beat down.
In the cell?
In the cell. And and we were locked down. You know what I mean?
In the cell.
In the cell.
Damn,
the stand beat up, like... What, dude, it could get, and that was my first day, like, it's on site, like, these dudes didn't pay off they got some tobacco fronted, see, like, they got it fronted, and that's what causes race riots, you know, so they're like, we're not paying it, all right, you're not paying it, so the word was, when we're going to the shower, five white boys go to the shower, eight of us go to the shower, there's guards front and back, and you're walking by the cells, and what they were doing is that, like, the toothpaste that they give you in the fish kits.
Yeah, is it Crest?
Or that you buy?
Or is it just a
generic
brand?
I don't know if it's
Crest
or generic brand.
Okay, yeah.
You know who owns the commissary list, right? Of all the prison system? Bob Barker. From The Price is Right.
Price is Right, Bob Barker?
Come on down. You're the next contestant on the Price is Right. Wow. Him and his wife own it, and they make a killing.
Dude, he's rich.
Top Ramen. Yeah, it's like 24 cents or sorry. Yeah. It's probably more now for one. But they're taking off the toothpaste cap lid, and they're wedging it in the cell door. And so when shut it.
With the paste?
With the toothpaste lid.
The cap.
The cap.
Oh, and so they can't put the key in.
They could put the key in, but it wouldn't lock the door.
It wouldn't lock the door.
So like when we would walk by, they'd wait for us to walk by, and they'd pop open the door and ting, 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 or be, you know what I mean? That was
what
going
down.
What
do you mean down. By
like stabbing you, you know? With the
shank.
Yeah. Or beating you up.
So how do you even get shanks in prison?
You know, like...
Explain what a shank is.
A shank is a shiv, like a homemade knife.
A homemade knife
that will stab you. They got bone crushers. They got like...
What's a bone crusher?
A bone crusher is a very big one that's going to get you all the way to the where you're hitting bone.
And how do you get... they can make it out of this?
Oh, absolutely. You could rip off a piece of your sheet.
I can make
right
a knife
there.
Out of this in prison.
Yes, you could get a piece of your sheet, rip it, and you could start hacksawing it like a hacksaw, and it starts heating up, and it will burn through... Or like your dinner tray, plastic. You get a sheet and you start going like a hacksaw, and that's gonna start burning through, and you could start shaping.
So you're telling me they can make shanks out of dinner trays?
Yeah.
Get
the fingernail clippers. They can rip that off. Like, dude, you could just whatever the springs off the bunk bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
okay, let's say I'm in prison. I'm one of the others, right?
Right.
And this guy's picking on me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "We're gonna get Lee. Hey Ching. We're gonna get you." Mm-hmm. And then I need some kind of protection.
Yeah, yeah.
So who do I go to?
You go to your shot caller and go, look, dude, what are you? Know
he's
what I mean?
An Asian dude?
Yeah, another, right? That's because they're called cars, right? Like a car?
Yeah.
So like, all right, so.
I'm in the other's car.
So like you're in the other's car, but right, all right, so there's a bunch of Peckerwoods, right? There's like, if it's race, right? It's all the races together, but. Where are you from? I'm from Santa Cruz. I grew up in Santa Cruz, right?
You have to say the city?
Santa Cruz County.
Okay.
So where's your... Oh, you got... Me, Santa Cruz is small. You got maybe one dude. Modesto, Stockton, like where Neckface was from. Stockton, they got... they're called Eastside Oakeyville. They're like hillbilly white boys.
So there's cliques.
There's cliques. So they're called cars. Oh, so like right, from counties. Right, it's like right. What county you're from. But... When it goes down with race, you all get together.
So I'll be the other's Hollywood clique.
So like I'm from San Diego County. So you'll find like the other, like, all right, there's
the
a couple
one other Asian guy.
Yeah, other Asians, all right. And like if you don't got nothing, they're gonna give you shampoo, some soup. It's like to get you started.
Oh, they hook me up.
They hook you up. Yeah.
Oh, because that's like my manager.
That's like your family. Yeah, that's
my
your manager. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
like
that's
what
like
kind of
your
so,
family for the amount of time that you.
So
got.
If I have a problem, let's say some guy's like he keeps looking at my ass in the shower. I go, this guy keeps looking at my butt, man. I'm scared. I don't know what he's gonna do.
Right.
What do I do then?
Do I go to my
Well, my car?
Yeah, like you want to let them know. But like if he's just going to rush you, you don't ask nothing. You protect yourself. You know what I mean? Like you do all needs necessary to survive. Like you do you don't want your bottom touched at all.
So when does that usually happen? In the shower?
It could happen in the shower. It could happen in in the bathroom when you're brushing your teeth. You shit. Dude, you got shit in front of
I can't shit by myself and close the door.
Now, if you're in a cell, this is
brother.
How big a cell is.
Yeah,
you
go
like
ahead,
this.
Go ahead.
You go like that. Your elbow like that.
Yeah.
That's how wide your cell is. That's how wide. So, and you got two grown ass men living in it. Two beds, a sink, a bench to ride on, a sink with the toilet. And
jeez,
that's it.
Man.
And that's it.
Okay, so let's say I have to take it. Let's say I have to take a dump.
Yeah. So
do I have to warn the other guys?
Yeah.
Like, hey,
dude, if you fart, you got to sit on the toilet, and as you fart, you flush it. So all the
you flush your farts.
Yeah, you sure do.
You have to flush.
And as soon as that turd hits the water, you flush. And if you don't, you're getting beat up.
Okay, so let's say I
you don't
have
want
like
the cell smelling.
Let's say I have diarrhea or something.
Yeah.
And it smells bad. What do I do?
You just flush. But you know what I mean? And then you get baby powder and anything to help the smell. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. So yeah. It's really about respect.
Respect and clean. You be like, if you're a dirty person and we're a slob, you're going to learn.
So what if you're a cat that don't want to shower? You're just some dirty
dude. You're going to be told to. And if you don't, they're going to roll you up. Roll you up means.
What does that mean?
That means you're going to get warned first.
By who? Your car?
The car. The shot caller.
The car is going to warn you.
You're making us all look bad because you're representing all of us, right?
That's how it is.
It's about numbers. You know? The more you got, the stronger you are. And if you're not clean, that just makes us all look bad. So you're going to be warned. You have to do burpees. That's like
a... What's a burpee?
A burpee is where you jog in place. You go down and then you do push-ups back. And yeah. You know what I mean? And then... And if he doesn't catch on from there, you get 23 seconds. That stands for like white pride or whatever.
Alphabet, whatever.
And you go in the bathroom and he gets lumped up for 23 seconds. No face shots because he could get a black eye and then he gets rolled up for fighting and sent to the hole. So then that's less numbers. So you just get kidney shots. And
by how many people?
Just a couple. You know what I mean?
What's the worst thing that happened to you? Were you just?
I mean, I've been disciplined before. Like horse playing is a big no-no.
What does that mean?
Like socking each other or like just fooling around.
Yeah.
You know, with your buddy.
Yeah.
You would just do out here, you know,
wrestling or something.
Because then it could get serious, and then it just looks bad, and then it could end up in a fight, and it makes us once again make sure your car or your race look bad. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's how you hold yourself.
Right. What's like a typical day in prison like? Like what time do you have to wake up and what do you have to do?
You wake up at 5 a.m. for breakfast. 5 a.m. You don't have to wake up for breakfast, but you're going to be starving. You can make your own food off your...
Oh, man. I don't know if I can make that.
I know. It's hard. But like, dude, you start...
I sleep at 5.
I know.
That's when I start getting ready for bed.
Everybody, yeah. Yeah. So... Well, then you can make your own food. Not only can you get your commissary list every 3 months, you could have your people out on the streets. It's called the quarterly package where you could order off another list where you get shoes, sweats, tuna, peanut butter, like the more stuff, the more health, like different stuff.
Yeah, I would want peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Yeah.
And I love peanut butter and jelly. Yeah. Dude, I eat that every day.
You can't go wrong.
And in there, dude, they got the best peanut butter. It's so good.
Can you get tuna?
You get tuna, big time.
Can you get like corned beef and hash?
They serve sometimes. They got some good food. When you go to prison, they serve you bigger portions of food and it's better because there's grown-ass men there and you don't want them angry.
Well, what does prison food taste like?
It's not bad at all. I can eat it out here.
So what's your typical meal, prison meal?
Like on Fridays, dude, you get like...
Spaghetti?
Yeah, I got spaghetti.
Okay.
Like every Thursday was pancakes with peanut butter.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
So everyone's in a good mood if they get pancakes. Yeah.
And that's when people start gambling for, you know what I mean?
Because they feel good.
You know? And then they bet on their trays. And some people don't want to give it up. And then that starts fights. But
if you wanted other side hustles to make money in prison?
For me, I made tattoo ink. Like I made all this ink myself. I made this ink.
You did?
Yeah.
You made it.
I made it. And it came out pretty good, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like, it's pretty dark. Like, all this homemade ink.
How do you make homemade tattoo ink?
Say this is a soda can right here.
Yeah, this is
Priya's
great.
Priya's like, oh my God, this is great. Again.
No, this is good stuff.
She's heard it like 50 times.
It's okay. I have it. This is new for the Stevie Weeby show.
So say this is a soda can, right?
Okay, soda can of Coke.
Because you could get sodas on the commissary. Okay. Right? So you cut the top of the... soda can off, right?
Do you have scissors?
You could get like the razor from your razor blade. Jeez, you could pop that out.
Gotta be innovative.
And then you could cut it out, and then you could go into like the janitor room, and the dude that runs the janitor room, you could ask him for like the mop mop the floor, the little strands.
Yeah.
Rip off one, get a brand new mop.
Oh yeah, okay.
Rip off one of the strands, and you put that on the inside of the empty can. Right, like surround it around like that, and then pull it up, and you cut a slice on the top of the can, put it in there, and then the best stuff to use is baby oil.
Baby oil.
But baby oil was banned at Pelican Bay because they caught on. They knew we were using it for tattoo ink, so you use black orchid hair grease. You pack the hair grease or baby oil inside the can all the way up. You get a lighter because you get lighters. Light it. And then you put a brown paper bag over it. So you put it in your locker, light it, and put the brown paper bag, right, over it. It burns. All the soot sticks to the bag. Jeez. After it burns all the way down, you get the brown paper bag. You get your prison card ID, scrape it off, put it in a little Ziploc baggie, and you get 2 tablespoons of VO5 shampoo and 2 tablespoons of water and mix it up, and that's your tattoo ink.
That's the ink?
That's the ink.
How did he taught you that? How did you
this
did you
dude come Timmy, up with it? Right? This dude Timmy from Yuba City.
Yeah.
He's a little fat white boy, right?
Yeah.
And he was cool. So he taught me, and the first time he was teaching me, so he shows me the whole get down, and we went down to play cards while it's burning, right? Because you do it when there's certain guards that don't, you know, like as long as you don't put your business out on Front Street.
Yeah.
He's cool. He'll let you do what you want. Don't give him paperwork to do. Yeah, and he'll let you, you know, you got to be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to go check on it because it's going to be count time where you have to go to your bunk and they count, you know what I mean? Yeah. And they would smell it or whatever. So we go up to the locker. We open it up. And Timmy goes to blow on it, right? He's like, and it won't go out, right? The flame, right? And
oh, damn.
So he's all, go get water, because it wouldn't go out, right? And I was like, okay. So I went, got a cup of water. He's inside the locker, because they're big lockers. And I'm like over his back, like leaning over, looking at him. And he throws it on the fire. And its hair, like, it went, and it burnt his goatee, his eyelashes. It burnt the side of my face.
Damn.
And we messed up, right? So we blew it. So then we got warned, like, you guys got to watch what you're doing. We did it again.
Oh, by your car?
Our car.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Because
we could blow it for other reasons. So, and people got stuff stashed that, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Yeah,
you could blow
the spot.
Everybody.
Yeah,
blow
yeah,
the spot.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah.
So we do it again, and... Dude, the bag catches on fire. The fire alarms go off, and we open the lock, and there's soot everywhere. So every race had to help us clean it up.
Oh, man.
And, dude, it just went nuts. We ended up cleaning it all up, and we pulled it, but we ended up having to do it outside. We
damn,
couldn't do
that's
it in
crazy,
but I would sell it. I would get, like, little Visine-type bottles.
Yeah, you slang, like you'd slang
and
it?
And I'd fill it up, and I'd sell it for, like, $30-$35.
People would buy it.
Yeah.
Because this is a much needed thing.
Everybody
this
wants
is like
tattoos.
Gold.
It's like
you
gold.
Made gold.
If you could tattoo in prison,
you're the
you
man.
Are a king. Yeah.
So they all
your
the
locker will be full of food.
They'll love.
Yeah.
You get soap.
Everything.
Top ramen.
Top ramen. Zoom, zoom,
so,
wham,
well,
wham.
So if you end up going to prison, learn how to tattoo.
Yeah. That's there you go. That's right.
Dude, I could talk about this for 5 hours.
Dude, I just because
we're
started.
Like down to our last 10 minutes, and I haven't even talked about you guys' podcast.
I
and
know
we got off skating and because wait,
well,
just
this
explain
could be
real
one,
quick.
Part 1, man.
Well, you
got
to come back, dude.
Dude,
I
got
you.
Because
I want to
started.
I want to do a whole prison edition where you teach like the viewers how to make prison like dishes and stuff.
Well,
that'd be tight.
I'm inviting you to.
I would love to.
We're doing an art show. When is it, Priya? October 26th.
I think I'm already aware of it.
All right.
It's other skaters too, right? Skaters and artists.
Horace Walker.
Yeah. Let's Kimper. Plug that. Let's plug that right now.
Okay. Pizza Nista, my friend Solomon Aga, I grew up skating with. He got Skater of the Year. He's an amazing skater. He owns this pizza spot in Long Beach on 7th Street.
Yeah.
Pizza. It's amazing pizza. Well, he's a skater. It's a skater type
pizza
place.
I love it. It's in downtown.
Yeah. And
I love
it's, we're doing an art show, and it's at what time? Starts at 7, and dude, there's like Porus Walker, Tim Kerr, Salba, Jason Jesse.
Yeah.
Dude, all there's
all
like
your homies?
So all my homies.
How do people get tickets? Or do they just roll up?
Dude, like it's free. You just come show up.
Oh.
Please come. Dude, you guys are invited, and I'm releasing my own jailhouse prison style pizza.
Dude.
You guys are, please come.
Okay, okay, so definitely go to that. Say the date and the location again.
October 26th at 7 p.m. It's at Pizza Nista in Long Beach, and it's on 7th Street. And Rip Ride, we're going to be doing Rip Ride. It's Rip Ride Podcast presents. What's it called? Splendid. What's the name of it?
Splendid Feast.
Splendid Feast.
Okay.
And it's got all these guys showing all their artwork, and then we're going to do a... I did the sweet and sour pork when I was locked up.
Yeah,
and
that's your dish.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we're putting it on a pizza. Damn, and we did a little test run, and it was delicious.
Delicious.
Yeah, so we're going to be having that.
Yeah,
and,
I love it. I love the prison stuff. What was that, Craig?
Oh, I just wanted to plug all their stuff.
So yeah, yeah, let's plug. Don't you have a podcast with your...
Yeah, me and Priya Latakosla, my lovely girlfriend. Yeah. She's my co-host, and every Saturday and Sunday.
What's it called?
It's called Rip Ride Podcast with Andy Roy.
Rip Ride.
Check it out. Every Sunday, we do it. And we just did a live audience last Saturday with Jason Ellis and Simon Woodstock.
That's what's
and it was
up.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's skaters, surfers. Someone just got a rad story, whatever. I want you to come on.
Thank you. I would be honored. You had Edward Furlong on.
Yeah. He's a good friend of mine. I met him through BAM. And,
that's
great.
I'm
Comic-Con.
A big fan, dude.
Yeah.
Terminator
we'll have to
2,
get him over here, man.
American History X. Yeah.
Big he's sober. He's sober. He's got over a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Yeah, when I saw that, I was tripping.
Crazy, right?
Because you don't see a lot of him anywhere.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, he's still around. And
he's supposed to be in the new Terminator movie. Yeah, he just...
How do we see your podcast?
How do we see your podcast?
Dear Andy channel on YouTube.
Yeah, check out Dear Andy.
Yeah, Dear Andy. Because
he's got vlogs as well.
I don't even know what a vlog. What is that? I'm
computer videos. You have videos of yourself.
YouTube channel.
Advice.
I do a Dear Andy. It's advice where people call in and I give them advice.
Yeah, that's right.
Like sexual to money to skating to fighting, surviving,
everything.
Being successful in life. Mm-hmm. I'm your guy. I'll give you advice to succeed. You know what I mean? To be that guy.
So subscribe to Dear Andy.
Dear Andy. And I got a YouTube channel, right? Is that?
That's
the YouTube channel.
So the podcast is on Dear Andy.
Yes.
YouTube channel.
So subscribe.
Subscribe, please.
Yeah.
I do
What's
Andy Roy 18. Yeah, Andy Roy 18. That's my Instagram. Mm-hmm. And dude, I'm just I try and give skateboard lessons, dude. I don't know.
Let's say like someone watches this and they want to get the kid wants a skateboarding lesson from you. How do they reach you?
They DM me, right? Or. AndyRoy18@yahoo.com. This is all new. All this stuff is like, dude, I know how to sext, Instagram, and look at porn. Like, I only know, like, that iPhone, like, those little TV screens, all those little things freak me out. I get overwhelmed.
Dude, this is great. This platform is... I mean, that's why I have it, is for people like you, man, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So they can check
out
cool, you know, other people's stuff.
Yeah. I'm sweating just thinking about like
all
this.
No, don't
think, like,
don't. There's no need to stress. There's
I didn't
no
know
stress.
What a podcast was before.
No,
like,
but you're doing it.
And
yeah.
I was like, yeah. Like,
dude, just keep doing it. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what I'm doing half the time, but we're still here.
this is rad, man. Yeah. I like what you
dude, you're always welcome. I actually want you to come back right now.
Dude, I'm down, dude.
Yeah.
I would
love
you.
Oh, next time you gotta teach a talk about Pruno.
Pruno. Oh yeah.
How prisoners make Pruno.
Yeah.
Which is the prison wine.
Yep. The alcohol, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, after Pruno? Or after what? How? Yeah,
yeah.
We didn't even get to that.
Yeah, dude. We got
a lot more to talk about.
Crazy stuff.
Oh, what about skateboarding stuff? Do you have like maybe a guest board coming out or like you're still skating as well?
Yeah. My good friend Jason Jesse, who I looked up to.
Damn, that's
we're
OG
trying to
too.
Get something going, and then I sell like on the AndyRoy18@yahoo.com, like I sell skateboards, t-shirts.
Oh, how do people get a skateboard or t-shirt?
Like on the AndyRoy18@yahoo.com.
No, AndyRoy18.com.
Oh, AndyRoy18.com.
AndyRoy18.com. Go on that website and get some gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got t-shirts, all kinds of stuff, man. And
Pride, did we cover? We got all of the website, email, boom. We got. I want to make sure we got it.
Thank you,
we
man.
Got,
I appreciate
dude,
it.
That
dude,
was
you
sick.
Rule, man.
That was sick.
Yeah,
I love it, man. I got lost, dude. I know that we're you know. Yeah, we'll do it again. But dude, this one flew by for me.
I know.
Sometimes,
it felt like 10 minutes.
Sometimes I'm like, man, this is long. But this one was like, what? We're already there.
It's
so I have a couple announcements, and then there's no Little Ray's World this week, but next week we'll be back for Little Ray's World. It's a puppet show that I do.
Oh,
every
I wanted
other week.
To see
too. Yeah, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
But it's every other week. So there's a Patreon attached to the show. If you want to be a part and become a patron to help the show still exist, go to patreon.com/stevieweeby. There's also a website now, www.stevieweebyshow.com. Our new patrons this week, our patron was Zach Durling. And I also have music at stevieweebybandcamp.com. Thank you, Michael Martinez, for purchasing some music. I'm working on a new EP called Ode to My Pops. Stevie on the Streetie is a new series we're doing on my channel where I do street interviews, and we're still continuing that. We're doing Stevie Clips now, right? The box. And we're doing a Stevie's P.O. Box where I unbox packages that you guys send in. If you want to send in a package, send your packages and stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Support the homies podcast, Necro Electric, Losco Projects, and WFE. And WFE. Dude, it was an honor having you. Dude, yeah.
Thank you.
Can you spell the Andy Roy website? It's andyroy18.com. So is it,
yeah, if you want to spell it. A, like my name, I know how to spell my name. But that, yeah,
A-N-D-Y-R-O-Y 1-8.
.com.
Com. Is that it?
I did it.
Yeah,
I
let's do it one more time. A-N-D-Y-R-O-Y 1-8 .com. Go there now and buy a shirt or buy all the stuff.
Yes, thank you. Awesome, man. Rad.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.